Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, and welcome to Dr. Tan's podcast, I Speak Life. I hope that you're having a wonderful evening in preparation for the holiday that's coming up on tomorrow. And I just wanted to stop by tonight and give you some inspiration, some hope. Tonight, my podcast title will be When We Pray. When we pray, it strengthens our relationship with the Father. When we pray, it conditions our heart to accept His will for our lives. When we pray, it lets us know we need Him and can't live without Him. When we pray, the peace of God overtakes us. When we pray, the spirit of heaviness leaves us. And when we pray, we feel empowered knowing that we possess that Philippians 4:13 power, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what? When we pray, we realize that the Holy Spirit can speak to us. Let's just think about some people that prayed. That we know. It was so many different people that prayed in the Bible. We could think about when Moses prayed for God to help him lead his people, the children of Israel, out of bondage. We could think about when Hannah prayed for a son and God was Samuel. Think about Daniel when he prayed 3 times a day. And why was he praying? You know, if we go back and think about why he prayed, you think about that Daniel fast, you know, the 21-day Daniel fast that we hear so often about. But when you think about Daniel praying, this was something he did daily. He prayed 3 times a day. And he did it because he knew that his faith in God would help him through any situation. This is what he knew. He didn't doubt it. And so when they had come up with this law, they said, hey, nobody else is supposed to be, you're not supposed to be praying. They sent out this law, can't pray no more. What did Daniel do? He was like, no, I'm going to keep praying because my God said he will supply all of my needs. So I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep fasting. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing to get me to this point. And because he continued to pray, because he did not deny God, he didn't hide his faith in God, he didn't act like he didn't know where God had brought him, ashamed, because the Bible talks about being ashamed of God. It says, if you are ashamed of me before men, then I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So he wasn't ashamed before men. He continually to pray 3 times a day. As a result, they threw him in the lion's den. Now, this is what we have to understand. Sometimes and oftentimes we must know that when we follow God, there is going to be opposition. And so we can't assume that because we follow God that we won't have any opposition, because the opposition is coming. Why is the opposition going to come? Now, I want you to think about it through Daniel's story, because all he was doing was praying. and they felt threatened by his prayer. Why would someone feel threatened by you praying? Well, evidently the people that felt threatened, that had to make a law to try to keep him from praying, had to know that God was a big God. Otherwise, why even waste your time? Same thing with the enemy today. In fact, in Ephesians, it tells us that the enemy comes to, well, I'll take that back. That is in John 10 and 10. It says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But in Ephesians, it talks about how we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness in high places and principalities. And it talks about how the enemy seeks to devour us. He's going up and down the earth seeking who he can devour. So in Ephesians 6, it tells us that we got to put on the whole armor of God. We have to do that. What is the whole armor? Well, you got to know the word. You got to know the word for yourself so that you can stand on God's promises. Daniel did that. So they threw him in it then. Are we doing that though? Are we doing that on a daily basis? Because see, the prayer life is not like, you know, you're calling to order something on Amazon, or you're placing, you know, or you're on one of your, on your online apps, on one of your shopping sprees, and you see something you want, and so you dial the number you order. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is a relationship. It's a personal relationship where you're developing it with your Savior, your Father, the person that gave you life, that's keeping, protecting you. So this is what that relationship is about. It's not about receiving anything from him, because if we're honest with ourselves, he's already given us the best thing that we could ever have in this life. So if we never receive anything else, he's done enough. The fact that he wakes us up every morning is enough. So this prayer life that Daniel, he did it because he knew he couldn't repay God back. This is something I'm gonna honor him. He's praying three times a day. Even though when he got thrown in the lion's den, it didn't happen immediately. Even though he had been praying three times a day before this happened, it still happened. And that's something we have to condition our mind to as well. Isaiah 54 and 17 says, no weapon formed shall prosper. It did not say the weapon wouldn't form. It just said it wouldn't work. So there, sometimes there's a misconception of the fact that when we take up our cross and we follow God, that we're gonna be problem free. But that's not true, because the enemy wants to discredit us. He doesn't want us to follow God. He already knows that God has the victory. He already knows that it's over with. He already knows where his final resting place is. He's trying to get us to abort our destiny, our eternal resting place, and be there with him, because he already know what time it is for him. So what he's doing is throwing all these smoke screens. And sometimes, you know, with anything, when the going gets tough, the saying says the tough gets going. But when we're faced with heavy opposition, this is the time that we have to really dig in. And if our prayer life is kind of faulty, it's going to show. You can't start praying when problems start. Your prayer life, you got to pray in season and out of season. You got to pray when it's good and when things are not going so good. If you're consistently praying all the time, then it will show up when the going gets tough. Because it's a mindset. It's an automatic. You automatically know what you need to do. That does not mean that we won't have emotions and feel discouraged at times, because we're human. But what it does say is that we won't sit there and have a pity party too long. Instead of having a pity party where we, you know, stressed out about what's happening, we'll be having a praise party, thanking God for his answer. Because we know that however he decides to answer us, it's going to be the best for us. And so when we shift our mindset from that fixed mind mindset to the growth mindset, where we could see, even though, you know, faith, that's what faith is, right? It's about not knowing how it's going to turn out, just knowing that God's going to work it out. That's all faith is. Like, I don't know when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it, who he's going to put on their heart to help or use to help me get through this. I just know he's going to take care of it because that's what he told me. Because that's what the Hebrews 11:1 is. That's what faith is. You don't have to see it to believe it. Okay. So Daniel prayed. And one thing that stuck out with me is that even in the lion's den, he did not abort what he knew to do. He didn't allow fear to become a factor. He allowed his faith to take root in that space. That's what he did. And he prayed. And guess what? He was faced with them ferocious lions in that den, and he prayed and stayed in faith, and God stepped right in, right on time. And the lions had to obey what God had already declared over Daniel's life. That's the thing. Remember, yeah, you know, the enemy has some limitations of what he can and cannot do, because remember who is in full control. God is in control. So you don't have to really worry about what the enemy is planning and plotting. Now you need to, you know, the Bible tells you to be wise, tells you to be sober, you know, be watchful, says to watch as well as pray. But you don't have to worry about it because God got you. As long as you stay, allow, you know, you hold on to God's unchanging hand, he's got you. And then I think about Jabez, you know, Jabez's prayer about enlarging his territory. Now, I was doing some reading that talked about Jabez's prayer and the reason why he was praying that. It was an ordinary prayer. Ordinary people, ordinary prayer. How many Jabez's do we have? He was praying for something ordinary. Even Hannah was praying that she could have a child. And so what I've learned from Hannah, as well as Jabez, and everybody else that prayed in the Bible and God answered their prayers according to his will and his timing, is that God wants you to come to him about everything. Include him in everything. When your day starts, include him in it. You know, because you never know what is happening. You never know why, what he's going to do in that particular moment, or what he's going to tell you, what he's going to put on your heart to do. And so Jabez prayed for expansion, and God enlarged his territory. He blessed him with what he asked for. Let me tell you something. We don't have to put limitations on God, because he owns the whole world. The Bible says the world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's nothing on this earth, in this world, that does not belong to God, that he does not own. It's all his. So if it's you having a financial issue, God is the banker. That's what Philippians 4:19 says. He'll supply all your needs. He the banker. He has unlimited supply of funding. Go to him. If you need healing, he's the doctor. He's the doctor among doctors. You got to go to him. You have to go to your source. If you need protection, only God can protect you, because he's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. Go to your source. And when you think about your source, God is everything to everybody. The problem is everybody don't tap into that source. And one thing about God, he's not going to make you do it. Even though everybody will, it says, the good book says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Now that will happen. But he's not going to force you to choose. That's your choice. But I can tell you this. God has a way of, even when you're going through some trials and tribulations, when you done gave your life to Christ and you're trying to live right, you know, Paul said it best, when I try to do right, he was always present. That's for every last one of us. But guess what? Your life will go so much better yielding it to Christ. Even with the opposition and the things that you're going to encounter as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you still will be at peace. You will be unmoved, unshakable. Okay, it's like them palm trees. You know how they just bend, they sway in the wind from left to right, but they never break. Their strength, they're rooted in the ground. And we have to be rooted in Christ. So that even though we have these different situations, we have trials and tribulations, that we won't break. And so I asked you, how is your prayer life? Are you only praying to him when you need something? Because if that's the case, then you got to work on your prayer life. Your prayer life should not be your hand is out all the time. Does God want to bless you? Yes. But God really wants from you is your obedience. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. He wants you to obey him, to pick up your cross daily, deny yourself, and strive to live like him as best as you can. You're not going to be perfect, and he knows that, but that's what he wants for you. And if you do that, Matthew 6 and 33 says, hey, if you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and I'll add things into you. Like, I'll give you some of the things that you want. I'm going to supply your needs, because that's what he said, right? In Philippians 4:19, I also talked about it in Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, it's nothing that you need that you're going to want. But then he said, I'll give you some of your heart desires. That's what he's talking about. I'll give you some of those things. You know, but I need you to seek ye first the kingdom. In other words, I need you to seek me. I need you to make me priority in your life. I should be the head of your life. In the morning when you get up, I should be the first person you speak to, talk to. Throughout the day, you should be talking to me. Before you go to bed, I should be the last person you talk to. You should begin and end your day with God. And let me tell you what happens. I started, you know, just talking to God about just basic things, you know. Lord, should I do this? I can remember specifically, I was looking, had an opportunity for a job. And this has been, you know, several years ago. But I can remember I got several offers for a job in different locations. And I prayed about it. And even though the job was making more money, which would be great, and there's nothing wrong with making more money. Now, I don't want you to think that it is. But also understand that everything that appears good might not be good for you at that time. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's, you know, that's bad for you and you know you shouldn't have it. But sometimes everything that appears good is not good for you. And so you have to use discernment, judgment. You have to pray and ask God to lead you. And so I was getting all these offers, and they were just coming out the woodwork. And I said, okay, now I'm going to have to pray about this, because they're coming. And I know that whenever God gives you the go-ahead, you're going to feel at peace with it. You're not going to have any doubt. You're not going to question it. You're not going to feel kind of iffy about it. You're going to be like, okay, this is exactly what I need to do. Let's do it. Well, I got maybe three or four different offers within a span of a month or two. They were in different locations, but still dealing with the same, within the same occupation. And I never forget, I declined on all, it was actually four of them. I declined on all four of them. Every last one of them would have been more pay. A couple of them were actually promotions. And the Lord told me to be still. It wasn't time yet. So that's what I, you know, I said, hey, it's not, you know, it's not for me to move at this moment. I appreciate, you know, you're thinking highly of me, offering this opportunity, but I have to decline. And, you know, I thanked them for even considering me. And I just patiently waited. And the next year, I wasn't even looking for a promotion. Okay. But God had allowed my name to be mentioned in rooms that I had no idea that my name was being mentioned. And so the next year I was promoted. And it was seamless. And what the thing was that with this, even I waited a year, but with the promotion, out of all the offers I had, this promotion was paying more. And I didn't have to do anything because God did it. He said it wasn't time. Now I realized that if I had to move before he told me to move, I would have, you know, it would have been more money, but I might not have been at peace. And so what I'm telling you is that you have to be very careful because the enemy can bless you too. And what I mean by that is that the enemy can present things to you to make it appear to be something good when it really is not. And the only way you're going to know is if you're continuously in prayer. And so I know some of you have had that same thing happen. You've prayed about it and God says, this is not it. I got something better. Because God always answers our prayer, whether we believe that it's answered or not. He might say yes. He may say not yet. It's not time. Or he might say no, I got something better. But whatever God's response to our prayer is, we have to know that he wants what's best for us. And he knows what's best for us. Because he made us for his purpose. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about making sure that your prayer life includes praising him daily, thanking him for the things that we often take for granted. You know, I saw an individual that was very young, in their early 20s, and they were had been going through this process of dialysis. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm blessed because I don't have to go through that process. When we think about the fact that it's so many people that have lost their hearing, if you can still hear, it might not be to the same effect that you could hear when you were younger, but the fact that you can still hear, that's a blessing. If you can see, even if you have to use glasses to help aid in your seeing, that's still a blessing because there's so many people that have lost their sight that they're blind. So that's a blessing. So those things that we take for granted, the ability to get up and walk around your room or in your home, the ability to use your limbs. You know, some people are paralyzed or have nerve damage. That's a blessing. The ability to be able to speak clearly, you know, to talk. That's a blessing. To be able to eat, to have an appetite, you know, to think, to smell, you know, all these different things, to feel. All those are blessings that I think sometimes we take for granted. We don't really, you know, think about that. Just traveling grace to and from. thanking God for our job, for provision, for income, for protection, you know, all these different things, for wisdom, you know, for basic needs, like having a roof over your head. You know, you may be praying for God to, maybe you want a home, or you want to purchase your first home, or whatever that may be. Maybe you're needing a vehicle. But just knowing that God can and he will do it is the most important thing. But it has to be in his timing. And so you just be grateful for what you have, you know, right now. Because God can do anything but fail. And he has those exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think or imagine blessings. Those Ephesians 3:20 blessings. So what we have to do is be grateful, be thankful. Excuse me. It shouldn't always have to be about us when we go to him in prayer. Because we don't want to make it seem like that's all we want, is you to bless us, and we don't have to do anything in return. That's not how God works. Plus, God knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows if you're sincere. That's what he knows. He knows if you're just doing certain things to get something from him. And let me tell you, it's not going to work, because he doesn't operate on our emotions or how we feel. God operates based on our faith level and the purity of our heart and our intentions. So if you ever think about that, you ever wonder how it appears if people that maybe have the wrong intentions seems like they are doing well. It does, until it catches up with them. Because what you have to understand is that if you're doing things with the wrong intentions, that's a seed that's been sown. And at some point, that seed has to present a harvest. So tonight, just remember, when you pray, what that means. If your prayer life is not where you want it to be, ask God to help you to develop it to where it needs to be. Because ultimately, God is going to be there for you when no one else will. Some of those days that when you need to talk to someone and you can't get a hold to no one, you can always get a hold of him. On those days that you can talk to a million people, but you're still feeling down, only God can give you the peace which surpasses all understanding. It's not the peace that the world gives you, but his peace is a different kind of peace, because he knows exactly what you need and when you need it. I encourage you to start speaking what you want to see. Decree it, believe it, and then wait with expectancy to receive it. That's what you want to do. You know, I've been working myself on decreeing it, believing it, and receiving it. I even wrote a book titled that, that is available now on Amazon. And the whole purpose of me writing that book was to make sure that I was not speaking against what I wanted God to show me in my life. I wasn't speaking against what God had already predestined over my life. It's easy to do that, especially when you are looking at the situation and, you know, it's too hard for you, but it's just right for God. And sometimes we get so caught up in how can we fix it. And that's why the prayer life is so important, because the moment you start trying to fix it yourself and then you think, oh, let me pray about it, I guarantee you, your mindset shifts. I don't need to fix anything, because God got it. That's why the prayer life is so important. It helps you to stay in your place and let God does what he do best. And what we should be doing is letting him lead. You know, that scripture in Psalms, be still and know. Yeah, just be still and know who he is, you know. And I guarantee you, your prayer life is going to help you to see things in a whole different light. It's going to also, you're going to see things happen for you that you never imagined would happen. You know, you can put things down. You can journal and pray over it. And what God will do is he'll look at what you've written down. Because, you know, Habakkuk 2 and 2 tells you to write the vision, make it plain. So, yes, you have to write it down. Once it's a dream in your head, but once you put it on paper, now it becomes a goal. You set a date to it. You can put an estimated date. Only God knows when it's going to happen. But you do your part and you do his. But once you pray over it, then what God will do, as long as he sees that you're working your faith, he's going to be working behind the scenes too. Some things that happen quicker than others, some will take time. Some God will give you something totally different than what you expected. But regardless of whatever or however he answers the prayer, it's going to be the best for your life. I'm not telling you something I know. I mean, telling you something I heard. I'm telling you something that I know. I didn't try them for myself. I'm looking at things that I've prayed about, written down as a goal, the Habakkuk 2 and 2 and 3. I've written it down, wrote the vision, made it plain, and I'm watching it manifest before my eyes. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. God is good. Look at God. It just took for me to do my part and get out his way. I just got to do what I got to do and continually pray and stay focused, because what happens is the enemy's job is to get you distracted. So when we pray, it helps us to stay focused, and the enemy hates that. He hates when you pray, because when you pray, that gives you power. And he knows that. So if he can keep you complaining and frustrated and having pity parties, then he's won. But if you turn it around and you continue to pray and keep pressing and you keep praying and you keep pressing, then he's lost. And that's what he wants to do. Let me get all these different things that they're dealing with. Let me throw up all these smoke screens so they can think this is a good decision when it's really not. Because, you know, when we get anxious about things that we want, we get impatient. And then sometimes we jump the gun. We do things that we probably should have waited on. And then after the fact, we'd be like, man, I wish I had waited. Well, guess what? If you had prayed about it and allowed God to speak into your life about that situation, then possibly you wouldn't have made the wrong choice. And just understand that sometimes when we pray, God doesn't answer right then. It might be months. But just because he didn't answer don't mean that you stop praying. So continue to thank him. You know, after you've prayed about it, thank him in advance. Lord, I thank you for answering this prayer. I thank you for deliverance, whatever that prayer is. Even over your children. Some of you got children, and you know the way everything is going now, they're easily influenced. The world is more worldly influences than it is wordly influences. So you just keep praying. However you raise your kids, if you raised them to fear the Lord, you raised them up in the word, then guess what? The Bible says that if you train a child in the way they should go in Proverbs, then they won't depart from it. They might stray, but they won't depart from it. They'll come back to it. How are you training them? And after you train them, and if you have little ones, train them in the word, train them in the Lord. It is very important, because if you don't train them in the word, they won't have a foundation to return to. The only foundation they'll have will be the world. And you don't want that. But if your children are older and maybe they're out on their own and maybe they're making some choices that you don't feel as a parent, you know, it's the best choices, keep praying for them. You delayed the foundation. It's in them. God is in them. They might stray, but they're coming back. Remember the prodigal son? He did all of that to have to come back to his home, came back to his foundation. So keep praying, no matter how it looks, because what the enemy wants you to do is give up on your children too. Keep praying over them. Keep praying for them. Keep praying with them. Stand in the gap, no matter how it looks. Stand in the gap. Sometimes it get hard. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I don't know if, I mean, they just doing all kind of things. Keep praying. Keep praying. Remember, somebody had to pray for you too. Somebody had to pray for me. We have not always been where we are. And we have to understand that the enemy is working overtime. And so we have to stand. And if you look around the world, you can see that those negative influences, those worldly influences are running rampant. But it doesn't matter because God is still in full control. So yes, it looks like that is there, that the temporary pleasures of the world have taken first place, but really no. Remember, the Bible says the first will be last and the last will be first. This is just a smoke screen. The enemy wants you to think that he's winning. He's not. Temporary pleasures never end up in permanent position. Never. It's temporary, which means it won't stay that way. And same way with your situations in life. They're temporary too. The psalmist says trouble don't last always. And trouble doesn't last always. But when you pray, you have to know that you know that you know that the power of God is in you. And he's given you everything. He's equipped you with everything you need to overcome. Romans 8:37 says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, which means that you can defeat and overcome anything. He's giving you the power of the tongue. It talks about that in the Bible. The power of the tongue is life and death and the power of the tongue. So that's why prayer is so important. What are you praying for? How are you praying? Who are you allowing to pray over you? Because that's very important as well. Everybody shouldn't be praying over you. Got to try the spirit by the spirit. But you can pray for yourself and make sure that you have an effective, fervent prayer. Think about the story of Daniel. Think about how he prayed regardless of what was going on. Prayed when it was good days, and he prayed when it wasn't so good days. He continuously prayed. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So as long as you're in right standing with God, your prayer availeth. That does not mean that you're going to be perfect, because the only way you're perfect is when God is perfecting what he has for you to do. He's perfecting you through Christ Jesus. You'll never be perfect, but you're perfect for the purpose that God has predestined you for. And so as long as you're striving to live righteous daily, God's got you. Even when you stray away, he still got you. Because you know, when you stray away, you have to repent, ask for forgiveness, and continue to pray. And I think a lot of times we slip up because we don't pray enough, or we forget to pray, or we pray after we didn't get ourselves in a situation. But if we change our mindset to try to pray first, that should be your go-to, pray, not the phone, prayer. Your friend can give you advice, but God can make a way out of no way. And sometimes, you know, your friends don't know. They can only tell you what they think. But when you go to the source, he's going to tell you what you need to know and how to handle it. So again, I just wanted to come on tonight and just offer some encouragement, because I know some of you have been praying. And you said, I've been praying, and nothing seems to happen. And it's happening. It's working out for your good, as Romans 8:28 says. It's happening. It's happening. I mean, you got to believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. It might not happen the way you want it to happen, when you want it to happen, or how you want it to happen, but it's happening. God got his own timing. And you know, if we focus on Christ instead of the crisis, then we can manage better. Because when we focus on the crisis, we lose hope. We get discouraged. We get frustrated. We stressed out. But if we focus on Christ, then we don't worry about all the things that's happening around us. Because we know that he's got us. Matthew 21 and 22 says, if you pray, ask it, believe and ask it, anything in his name, it shall be done. Why would God tell us that we could do that? That our tongue has life or death in it, that we can pray, ask it, anything and it shall be done. Why would he tell us that we are more than a conqueror? Why would he tell us to write the vision, make it plain? Why would he tell us that he'll provide all of our needs? Why would he tell us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus? Why would he tell us that? Why would he tell us that he'll keep us in perfect peace? Isaiah 26:3, if we keep our minds stayed on him, why would he tell us that if it wasn't so? Remember, his word cannot return unto him void. Whatever it is sent to do, it has to accomplish that. It will accomplish that. He cannot lie. So if his word says to pray and let him have it, to pray, to praise him, to worship him, to honor him, to obey him, all those action verbs, then we need to take action. Because prayer or pray is an action verb. That means we have to do something in order to get a reaction. What actions are you taking to get the reaction that you need? We have to pray. We have to have faith. We have to be obedient. We have to stay focused. All the action verbs that you are rehearsing in your mind or that you are activating in your life, are they positive or are they negative? Think about it. Because when we pray, we can feel the power of God moving all over us. And as I close, I just wanted to tell you that when we pray, God blesses us. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. And you will find rest for your soul. And lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. Do not look to the east or to the west, but to the hill from whence all your help cometh. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in heaven. So I pray that this word has blessed you indeed. Just like Jabez, make your request known to him. Just like Daniel, develop a prayer life. Develop a prayer life. So that God can bless you indeed. Develop a prayer life so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he can raise up a standard. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. When you pray, just know that God answers prayers. And when you pray, know that in his time, he will make it happen. And when you pray, believe that you shall receive what you have asked for according to his will and purpose for your life. Again, this is Dr. Tan, your host. Thank you for tuning in to this inspirational podcast, I Speak Life. God bless you and be definitely encouraged. Until we speak again, good night.